Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. How many of you are excited? Especially these days. I haven't heard people talk about the rapture like I did the last year. For years, I've been preaching it, talking about it, excited about it. Yeah, people would kind of, he'll come. But now they're excited. I wonder why. Maybe they feel Jesus is coming closer. Are you ready for him? Yes. Those that look for my appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for his appearing? Are you waiting for him? Hallelujah. God is a good God, but he is a God of judges, judgment, and justice. And he knows who belongs to him. Today I'm going to have a bit of a different message, I guess. But before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, kindness, love. Lord, we thank you for our future. We thank you that we'll soon step into our future, which is going to be bliss forever and ever. And Lord God, anybody who's here, who's not quite sure of himself, knock him a little bit, talk to him, walk with him a bit, Lord, and make yourself real. I thank you for your grace. I ask for blessings today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of people, I go on YouTube. Sometimes maybe I study it too much. And you look at preachers who are coming lately, they're trying to somehow tell you what's going to happen in the political system with what's going on in the spiritual system. And the kickoff, what do you wait for? What do you watch for? It's you watch for what's going to happen in Israel. Those little scrimmages they have right now, I figure, have your fun, shoot each other. But there's coming a time when God will say, it's enough. Hallelujah. And we here in the West, we got so many preachers telling us this, telling us that. You wonder when they started reading the Bible, yesterday or the day before yesterday. To read the Bible, to get a good idea of what's going to happen, you have to study it. You have to glean it out of the Old Testament. God has to give you revelation. You just can't go there. I'm going to read it just like a fiction book, and I'm going to understand it. Forget about that. You've got to be looking for what God wants you to see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. For what? What are they for? For the perfecting of the saints. Who are the saints? Hallelujah. Who are the saints? Hallelujah. Any saints around here? Yes. Hallelujah. I used to listen to this brother preach, and he said, yes, you can call me Saint Perry F. Rockwood. That's my legal name. Hallelujah. It is. If you're born again, you're a saint of God. You don't have to wait for the Pope to touch you or kiss his ring. That's what they do. You're a saint by being made a saint through the blood of Christ. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the blood of the body of Christ. So this is what those apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, they're for teaching one another, for teaching the saints. So if you're a saint out there who doesn't believe in apostles, something's wrong. There's apostles amongst us. If you're a believer, a saint out there, and you don't believe in prophets today, something's wrong. There are prophets of God. The trick is get to find them, because Satan comes as an angel of light, and he is going to pretend he's a prophet. He's even going to pretend he's Jesus, so in some cases. But the prophets and the evangelists, they're the ones and the teachers that should keep you on track. It's this way. This is what the Word says. So, are we being taught the right thing? Well, the only thing I have to say, I can say like the Apostle Paul, you do as I do. How can I say that? Am I perfect in the flesh? By no means. But the Apostle Paul depended on the Word. And he depended on the revelations that God spoke to him. So he says, do what I do. Be you followers of me. I used to wonder, this guy's a little bit of a high head. No, he was just stating facts. I know what I got. I know who gave it to me. And I know where I get most of my information. As an apostle or as an prophet or as an evangelist, whatever you want to call me, it's okay with me. I don't care. I didn't give the names to me. But as these things, as pastor and teacher, it's my duty to explain these things. For God wants us to understand. The Apostle Paul, he would walk in holiness, and he always knew what God wanted, even though they prophesied, you're going to be bound, don't go to Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going. Why am I going? Because God told me I'm going to end up in Rome. And he kind of understood the direction that he was going to go. And he said, pray for me that I may have a prosperous journey. Can you imagine as a prisoner, him prospering? And he did. He did prosper. He was able to teach and preach. And he's given us these epistles of his to tell others. So, dear saints, listen to me. God loves you. You're not just ordinary people anymore. The other day, there's somebody on the internet, very interesting person. If it would be true that you're once saved and always saved, the devil would be still in heaven. The idiot doesn't understand that Satan hasn't got a soul. Never had. He was created. We have a soul. Why do we have a soul? We come out from God and we're part of Him. That's the big difference. And once this dead soul which died, when? At the fall of Adam. It died. And it was dead. And the Bible says we're all dead in trespasses and sin. We got a soul, a body, but where's the spirit? The spirit died. You know where the spirit comes from? He didn't put it together, no. He blew into your nostrils, into your mouth. He blew His spirit into you. That's where your spirit comes from. And the moment you're born again by the Spirit of God, that spirit becomes alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We then are now God's property. We then are now part of the family of God. Not an angel, not an archangel or any of those things, but part of the family of God. God said, let us make man in what? In our own image. In the image of God made He them, male and female. And He blew into Adam's nostrils. When He separated Adam and Eve, did He again blow in to Eve? No, He didn't. He just separated the spirit that was in Adam. Half of it, the better half, they always say, came with and went into Eve. Now they're both at the same time God's workmanship. And He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. So that's what a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, that's their jobs, to let us know that, so that we can rejoice, not wonder, will I be a Christian in a couple of years? Well, how long does God live? Forever, right? That's how long I'll be a Christian. Christ wasn't a Christian. He was Christ. We're Christians. We're Christ once. Very different. So, okay now. I'm going to challenge you here. So keep your ears open. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget the things which are behind. Forget the past. When you, before you were born again by the Spirit of God, God erased your sins. And He threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. And if you remember them, you got a better memory than Jesus. Always think of that. And there's no such a thing. It says, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. That's what we should do. How often do you hear of people going back? Why are they going back? Because they're not reaching forward. God has a path for them. And He wants them to walk on that path. But because they don't understand, or they're uncomfortable, oh, we better go back to where it was comfortable, where I could enjoy myself, where I knew what was going to happen tomorrow and the day after. Well, with God, with walking with God, you never know what was going to happen. 50 years ago, God spoke to me, Dave, you will one day be on radio. How do you think that went over? I was a Hutterite. I wasn't even supposed to have a radio. They were for booting. You do not have a radio. And God said, you are going to be on radio. Do you think I said, well, maybe ever, but you know what I said in my heart? Like Mary, whatever you have for me, I'm going for it. I went for it. And let me tell you guys, it's a ride. It's a ride. Hallelujah. It says here, I pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing towards the mark in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be what? I want you to look at it. As many as here are what? Perfect. Are you perfect? I'll just reach out. You just put up your hand if you think you're perfect. Well, I am perfect. Amen. How do I know? It says it here. As many as are perfect. That's the easy part. Now I fight from victory and not for victory. Victory is mine. I fight from it, not for it. God has already guaranteed me victory. Why? Because I'm perfect. Am I such a good guy? Oh, yes, I am. But don't hang around me too long. You might think different. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Think on those things. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Okay, now. I got another question. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touch him not. Ah, that's a good one, isn't it? Ever thought about that? Are you born of God? Yes. Of course we are. Do we sin? No. Why? It says it here. But there's something else. He that is begotten of God, he keeps himself. And the wicked one cannot touch him. Who's begotten of God? Jesus. My Jesus. James, you did good. Jesus kept himself perfect, pure, and holy. Look at that verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten, I'm going to get to that. Who's begotten? Hallelujah. I love this. He's begotten, and he's the only begotten. Hallelujah. Listen, John 3, chapter 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, what? Begotten Son. A lot of translations leave that out. They just put his only Son. No, it's begotten of God. It's part of God. He's the Godhead. Hallelujah. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish. So if you turn to this begotten one, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn us. He didn't. But that the world through him might be saved. That's the world. It's not just talking about the Calvinists or the Hutterites or the Mennonites or whosoever thinks he's the last move of God on this earth. No, the world. That's the one in the jungle who hasn't washed himself since he was born and who walks around naked. God did what? He died for him. He was given for him that he might be saved. Hallelujah. That's what a pastor and an evangelist and a prophet and a teacher is for, to let these people know this is what is waiting for you if you will just give God a chance. For he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What, years ago, right at the beginning, when Eve fell and Adam, Jesus, God said, I'm going to send somebody who's going to straighten this out. A lot of churches never really took it to heart, but he straightened it out at the cross. Now there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor Greek, but we are all one in Christ. This is why I can't stand a person who says a woman shouldn't be a preacher. Just stay a little bit away from me when you say that. Because Jesus made us one. We're in this together. And if you listen to some women preachers, they are full of fire and the Holy Ghost. And much better. Actually, the first one to ever preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ is who? Not only Magdalene, she was a prostitute before she became a Christ one. She was full of the devil before she became a Christ one. And God reached into that hole and made her the first one to preach the resurrection. What did the men say? Ah, these silly women. They say he woke up. He's from the grave already. Boy, and I read that story. They wouldn't take the time to go and investigate. Kept on going. And God himself, Jesus himself, walked with them and he called them, oh, you fools. Don't you know what the scripture is all about? It's been written all over and you never saw it. And when you study that, you wonder, that's how many, many in the churches operate today. And we better be not one of those. So, how about one saved, always saved? I love this subject. I love to irritate people with it. But most of all, I like to give them freedom. Are you once saved, always saved? Can you ever fall away from God? You can't. But prove it to me. Hallelujah. Prove it to me that you can't. Prove it in Scripture. Here's what it goes. Do you remember what a slave is? A slave is somebody that somebody owns. The slave has a choice on how to serve his master, but he has no choice on whether he leaves his master. He belongs to the slave master. He was bought. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? They belong to God. How did he get it? How did he get it? How did he get that? By buying it at the cross of Calvary. He paid dearly. Never mind, the price wasn't just a few pennies. The price was unbelievable for this God of ours. And for God to give us an example on how it felt to give his son, it took Abraham 3 days to walk up to Mount Moriah, where he was supposed to offer his son. Can you imagine the agony of Abraham? What he felt? I'm going to have to kill my only son? It must have been awful, horrible. But he went anyway. And God said, no, I got a sacrifice prepared. And that sacrifice was who? Jesus. But he did that to show us, I sometimes feel, to show us the agony it cost the Father to give his son. So think about it next time you study the crucifixion. It cost. Hallelujah. It says, what know you not? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. What know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Sorry, you sold yourself. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. I don't have that choice anymore to go and leave God because I was bought. I can't run away. He'll bring me back because he bought me. Hallelujah. He's going to bring me back. You can be sure if there's a Christian here who's gone away from God, I got news for you. You're coming back, whether you like it or not. Yes. Hallelujah. Why? You were bought with a price, and it cost God a lot, and he's not going to let you go. Hallelujah. For you are bought with a price, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. It cost a lot of whatever it was. I can't imagine it. You put your mind there and you have to take it away because your imagination cannot fathom or fathom the deep agony of God sending his only son. And then Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He himself said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup depart from me. What cup? Taking on our sins. Not the cross. The cross was the easy part. But taking your sins, my sins, upon himself, paying for them in full. He was to the point where he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That's God speaking, but not my will. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. The sweetest words out of the New Testament is, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what God has said. That's what made us citizens of heaven. Jesus, our only God, who saved us, who paid for us, went through that. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify him. Walk for him. Be a testimony for him. Be an apostle. Be a prophet. Try to hear from God what he's telling you. There's things God wants to tell you. You don't have to go tell everybody. You don't even have to tell your wife. But if God speaks to you, let it come into your heart and let it grow so that he can speak more to you. If you're going to reject it, next time you'll say, what's the use? He doesn't believe anyway. So God has us here, bought and paid for, and pretty soon to be delivered, where we shall be like he is. Hallelujah. We're going to be delivered soon. And by the looks of what's going on, we have got much time to wait. So give your heart, your life, to this great and awesome God, for he paid an awful, terrible price for you. Hallelujah. Amen.